episode 14. And today we will be continuing our top 10 players by position in the NBA and moving on to shooting guards now. We had a long spirited debate over our top 10 point guards, even though we had the top six entirely the same. So we'll see if there's a little more difference today in the shooting guards. Any first thoughts, Aaron, or I guess you can just get right into your honorable mention?
I mean, the shooting guards are a lot worse as a whole. Like, there's some guys on here that are not even close to really being an all-star in my mind. Like, once you start talking about RJ Barrett, who was like the third best player on the Knicks. I mean, maybe he's second best. Yeah, he's probably second best. But like, I just feel like he's not really in the same tier as guys we were leaving off on the point guards list, like Russell Westbrook and like De'Aaron Fox. So it's just interesting. I think this one's a little bit different. I mean, I have a guy here like close to my top five that hasn't played in 2 years. So it'll be interesting to see what we have to say. But I think as with the point guards, the top, I don't know, four or five is probably going to be pretty much the same.
Yep. So my honorable mention, I talked about him yesterday. I had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as a shooting guard instead of a point guard. And I left him out, actually. I think he started as my number eight, and I just kept adding more guys that bumped him out. He was number 11, so.
I mean, I'm probably definitely missing someone then, because Shai would definitely be probably like 8 or 9 for me.
Yep, all right. Any notable honorable mentions you want to mention?
No.
Double positive, grammar-wise.
Double positive, is that a thing?
I don't believe so, but I just made it up. All right, number 10 for me, Colin Sexton, the 6'1 shooting guard. Not really, but as I mentioned yesterday, please go back and listen so we get set a new record of 14 viewers.
Yes, Colin sir. Sexton
plays shooting guard for them most of the time, with Garland being the main point guard. So we already talked about yesterday why I like him more than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's won slightly more, I guess, which is like 30 games a year. But so good for him. I think the Cavs can be pretty good this year. They've got 2 6-foot guys and like 5 7-foot guys. So we'll see how that works out for them. Evan Mobley's got a lot of upside. So is Isaac Okoro, I think, still. A very young team, but East is pretty weak. We'll see what happens.
I have the same thing, but you mentioned our all-time record of 14 viewers. Our most listened to episode was episode 1, and it's like 100-something. But remember, like, Jack's sister listened to it at like 3 times speed over and over so we could like try to get it up, and like we were like sharing it to everybody, and now we like average like 4 listeners. Yeah,
and it's changed a lot, I guess.
We've come so far. Number 10, I also have Colin Sexton for pretty much the same reasons you do. He had some really hot games. He's also had some rough spurts. I mean, their team is so weird. They have 2 like 6'1" point guards, and then you got 3 guys over 6'10". So be interesting to see what lineups they run.
It's 4 now, as they have signed Taco Fall.
I mean, they could be starting 3 guys over 6'10".
It's a very diverse team height-wise, I guess is what you can say. Number 9 for me, one of my favorite players in the league, CJ McCollum. I have to mention this every time. He's an aspiring journalist in his free time. It's one of the passions of his. I'm also a very talented R&B singer, I have learned recently. For those younger listeners, if we have any young ones out before, R&B stands for Rhythm and Blues, if you weren't unaware.
He's getting a chapter in our book, a whole chapter.
A whole chapter in the history of the fast break.
Actually, we should try to get him to write our introduction, you know, like the first part. Yeah. It's like, this is the greatest book I've ever read. All right.
We can get one introduction by CJ McCollum and one by Malcolm Gladwell.
Yes. Forward right. By Malcolm Gladwell and aspiring rhythm and blues singer CJ McCollum.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, as I mentioned yesterday, because we went like 30 minutes overtime, CJ McCollum is a good second option, but he's not good enough where the Blazers have nothing below him and Dame. So I think this is a team that could be number 4 in the West or as low as number 10. So we'll have to see what happens in Portland this coming year if Dame is still there, because that's still a possibility for him to get traded.
I mean, it's a real possibility CJ gets traded too. I wonder if he could take his true talents. I mean, I guess he could like Memphis, you know, they're kind of City of Blues. You know, you could probably get a lot of writing opportunities in some of the bigger cities. We'll see what options he has. He's also my number 9, by the way, so we're 2 for 2.
That is insane. Number 8, Zach LaVine. I believe an all-star. But
hey, now you're an all-star.
Good, but if Sir Lord Adam Gleim is listening, he will argue that they could host a playoff series this year, which I find to be utterly blasphemous. I think Lonzo Ball is a average point guard at best. DeMar DeRozan's aging and has never been able to shoot the ball more than 25 feet from the basket. So we'll see what happens there. The Bulls should be okay. Zach LaVine's still their best player. But they remember they traded for Vucevic at the deadline last year and got worse somehow. So
is Lord Adam Gleim a Bulls fan? I guess he is kind of a Chicago sports fan, but I haven't heard him talk much about it.
Yeah, so we'll have to get some intrigue or some intricate discussion on his takes on the Chicago Bulls tomorrow at Oakland Basketball Open Gym. You can watch live on YouTube TV for the small price of $4.99.
Speaking of which, we also are including the daily segment at the end of the show in which we discuss how our episode relates to the status of the Loveland Basketball program. So stay tuned for that at the end of this long episode. Number 8, I had
the subject of the episode where we spill all the beans about the program.
True. if any of the coaches are listening, we're definitely getting cut. Number 8, I have Jaylen Brown. He's not even really
Number eight. Top 3 for me.
Oh my. Oh no, no. 3? Okay, so he's definitely not I can maybe see him like maybe 4. He's not even the best player on his team who got swept in the first round last year. Actually, they lost in 5. Like, he flipped his hair around and, like, hasn't gotten better since then. And now the Celtics is just, you know, average team. I don't see them improving much. I don't think he has much of a future in this league. Jaylen Brown, definitely not top 5 player in the shooting.
No, not much future in the league. This man puts up like 26 and 6 a game as number 2 option. Speaking of number 2 options, someone talking was number 2 option last year, and despite that, while putting up 9 points a game on only 4 shots a night, is now relegated to the back gym and open gym. I wonder who that is.
Me. You know, it's quite unfortunate that your height loss has led to this unfortunate turn of events. I mean, Nick took your spot, became a team captain, and won't even pick you to be on his team. This is the biggest turn of events I would have never expected.
I know. And speaking of shooting guards, as we get later on this list, a guy like Jaylen Brown or even Klay Thompson, Paul George, I mean, you can be any height and be a shooting guard now just because you want to be. Speaking of Nick Goldie, I mean, he's like 6'9" in his opinion, and also the best player in the school, like Paul George claims. I mean, he's playoff Goldie. And just because he wants to be now a dark horse team captain every single game. So, I mean, speaking of shooting guards, this directly correlates using the excerpt example provided in the space above. Cite an example, and Nick Goldie is a perfect example of a number one shooting guard.
Excellent. That was, I mean, you might as well give that as a monologue. That was very impressive.
I appreciate it. I guarantee there are no coaches listening. Might not even be any people listening, so I feel I'm safe.
There's definitely no people listening. This is my like journal. I'm gonna look back at this in 20 years, just to, like, remember what I was like. If anyone is watching, I please, Coach Williams, just make like one inside joke, okay? And then it'll be our hidden message. Okay, wait. What's the word he needs to say if he was listening to the podcast?
If he was listening, he's got to say,
What does he need to ask us about?
Well, I'll think about this. Let's keep going with the list.
All right. Stay tuned for this breaking news at the end of the episode. Thank you for listening, Coach Williams. Please don't be mad. Number 7.
Oh, wait. I got some more news. Which Coach Williams are you clarifying here?
We have Game Day Shoddy.
Yes.
We have not broken this news on the pod.
We've got Snapchat Griff and Game Day Shoddy.
You heard it here first. We did not break this on the pod, but Game Day Shoddy was confirmed as freshman coach. We also recently found Coach Williams' Snapchat. Please add me back.
Investigative journalism brought to you by the Fast Break.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we're like fine line between paparazzi and like insider analysts.
I know, it's insane.
Right there. All right, number seven, Klay Thompson. Hasn't played in 2 years. Still better than Jaylen Brown. I think that stop looking at me like that. He hasn't I've scored more points than him in the past 2 years than he has.
With one?
Excuse me. And I just think that his role is going to be a little bit different. He's playing with a different team. He has to know a different team. Speaking of off-court activities, he was an announcer, like commentator for one of the games. I think that's definitely a career for him going forward. So it'll be quite intriguing to follow this career.
Yeah, I just want to go back. I'm a big guy. I'm a big meme/Vine guy. Anybody remember in 2017 the China Klay meme where he was over in China doing all this weird stuff? That possibly it led to some possible karma. I believe karma is a big part of Chinese culture. I've seen that on TV shows. Maybe that's some stereotyping by the American media, and it's affected me as an American citizen. But possibly that led to Klay's downfall. But he is still higher than my number seven. Bradley Beal, who at a point last year was the leading vote getter of all players in the NBA in all-star votes. But he, I mentioned yesterday, he did a good job with Westbrook leading that team. But compared to shooting guards, I just think other guys are better, even though he can score in bunches, as they say.
You know, Klay Thompson is sponsored by Li Ning. He's had two ACL tears and Achilles in the last 2 years. Do you think the Chinese government is out to get Klay Thompson for his racial stereotyping?
Yes.
Oh, you heard it here first. Put it on the clutch points graphic.
We will have Mike Korzenba on the show next time to discuss all the conspiracy theories announced in today's show.
And now we will be performing Lost and Bounds, Kevin is a Snake, coming up next.
Oh, young boy out of D.C.
Now he's taking shots at OKC. All right.
Oh.
We will be starting each episode going forward with the next line until you hear all from us. Number six, please do tell. Or no, do you have Beal?
Beal 7-6 is Paul George.
Oh, okay. So this list is not the same. Although we do have the same 10 players. Number six, I have Zach LaVine. He has scored infinitely more points than Klay Thompson has in the last couple years. And I think that just really put him on a different tier for me. He in all honesty, he's been really good. He's kind of moved away from that dunking kind of role that was put on him. And now he's a really good scorer. And he's been really close to making some all-star teams. And I think that even though Vucevic really hasn't helped them out, they have a chance of being probably even have home court advantage in the East next year.
Oh, so you are on the Gleim hype train of a home court advantage for the Chicago Bulls.
What do you think of Loveland's home court advantage, and does it exist?
No, we already talked about this.
Oh,
go back
my goodness.
There is no home court advantage whatsoever in Chuck Smith Gymnasium. It's just non-existent. I don't care what Snapchat Griff says. It's just – it's not true.
I'm just confirming whether reports were true.
All right, top five now.
This is such a weird episode.
Klay Thompson, we already talked about him a lot, but a very good shooter, if you aren't aware. I think it's kind of an underrated aspect of his game. He can really shoot the ball, catch and shoot threes. But yeah, I think overall the Warriors are still my pick to win the Western Conference in the playoffs. It'll be weird, you know, guys coming off of 2 years off of separate injuries. It doesn't typically pan out well. And Klay's further along his career than most, had two pretty bad leg injuries. So
Chinese government.
Okay, possibly. It could either be a really good return or a not so good return that causes the end of the Warriors dynasty.
All right. Number five, I have Bradley Beal. Been snubbed from the All-Star game yet again. He is a quite excellent player. He is a great scorer. I do not have much to say on him, except for the Wizards are probably going to be bad again, and he's probably going to miss the All-Star game again. But I think he's quite splendid at the game of basketball.
He made the All-Star game last year. He was a starter.
Did he really?
He did. Over your guy, Trae Young, which, I mean, I can give you
true. All right.
Yeah, so he got in. But I agree, the Wizards will not be good, except for I believe Dini Avdija will make some splendid jumps this year as a player. My Israeli fam representing. Good to see all the humble young boys from from the Middle East showing out here in DC. Now, numero quatre, as they say in France. Quatre in French. We don't speak Spanish here.
See.
In Lowell, Ohio. Oui, monsieur.
Oh, okay.
It's a work in progress. Number four, Jaylen Brown. He's not top three, but he's number four. I just think he's made some very good strides as a player. I would have voted him for most improved. Maybe not this year, but 2 years ago or possibly this year. I just think him and Tatum, the Celtics with a new culture kind of with Brad Stevens moving into the front office, is interesting. This team could move into like the top two or even top three in the East. The Celtics for a while now have had that range where it seems like they're one of the most talented teams in the league and they underperform every year. So we'll see what happens with new leadership.
Well, I mean, they made the Eastern Conference Finals twice, maybe. I know they definitely made it once.
It was three times under Brad Stevens.
Three times. Oh, man. See, they're great knowledge of the Celtics. They were really good. And they just had an off year, I guess. I wasn't too impressed by what they did. I mean, it was honestly disappointing. We have that shakeup in the Celtics locker room. Actually, not locker room. Front office, I guess.
There's a shakeup in the Lowell basketball locker room too, because for Nick Goldie to have the audacity to become a dark horse candidate 3 days in a row, which contradicts the entire meaning of dark horse, and then to have the audacity not to pick either one of his co-hosts of his podcast is quite baffling to me as a friend and a colleague.
You know, I consider it more of a business relationship at this point. You know, I'm kind of forced to associate with him. It's definitely more the colleague side rather than an amicable friendship.
Well said. Very well said. I tend to agree.
Thank
with
you.
That.
I'm an aspiring journalist in my free time. Actually, I write blogs.
Blogs on Kid Blog.
Yes. Take a look. Kidblog.com/AaronSpute.
You were very. I must say, back in your heyday, you were very good at clickbait. Time, I was drawn into your article where you said, I was gone to the UCLA St. Bonaventure first four game, and you had a question mark and a blacked out body type. And I thought, oh my goodness, my sixth grade friend met LiAngelo Ball. Nope, it was his mom that he blacked out. Gosh darn it.
If you do recall, you actually went with me to the first four the next year. So you know how amazing those seats are. Number four, I believe, I have Paul George. Yes, he's very good. The Clippers are not going to be very good this year. Dark horse MVP candidate, if you ask me, because he could carry this team. They don't have Kawhi for like 3/4 of the year, so I don't know how you can give me that.
I mean, they could say that Kawhi could be back day one. You don't know what he's doing. He's like a robot. He could have been like surgically removing his knee and replacing with a fake one, and he'll be fine. You never know with him. He has broadened his life from just basketball and living in his cave to he's now.
You see that video of like the singers at the Clippers and him and Paul George are just like staring in the corner?
I've not seen that.
Oh my gosh, you are missing out. I'm tempted to pause.
Yeah, I have Reddit. That's it. They don't really post videos on Reddit.
All right, I'll forward you this after the words.
Sounds good. Through all of this gibberish, I believe we have the same top three shooting guards. Quite possibly in the same order. So my number three is Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns.
What do you know? We great minds think alike. Number three, I also have Devin Booker. He was really good. I did not listen back to our former episode from about a year ago in which we did the shooting guards episode, but he was really good. I just said that two times in a row. The Suns were really good, and that's why he is the third best shooting guard in the league. Thank you for listening.
He's also really good at basketball. He's a really good player.
I must
kinda
agree.
Kind of like Nick Goldie. And
true.
I would say Nick Goldie's not as successful in the relationship game as Devin Booker is. As Devin Booker, I believe, has dated two Kardashians thus far.
Two.
Well done, mate, as they say down in Australia. Good day, mate. And Nick Goldie is not as lucky in that regard, as I believe he is banned for the next 10 years after a party gone wrong Friday night. We are just breaking all the news.
Excuse me, please break the tea.
Yeah, there's a party after the football game at Nicholas's house, and someone threw bratwursts, commonly called hot dogs, I guess, in the United States, into Andrew Breed's bumper of his car, or into the hood of his car, causing his engine to light off hot dog fumes and his car didn't start. Then shortly thereafter, while Goldie, myself, yours truly, and Breeze were trying to procure, membane word, the car, it broke down. And at that same time, Jay Christian went in, broke into the fortress, Fort Goldie, and stole Nick Goldie's mattress out of his room and took it into the woods behind the house. At the very same time, Jacob Alkire pulled out of the neighborhood and floored his he has two cars, a new tricked out Jeep and a GMC Suburban, both costing well over $60,000 in this used car market, although they're both new, and went 80 miles an hour and ran over three trash cans simultaneously at the same time. So party gone wrong, Papa Goldie, as he is famously called by Nicholas himself, got three angry calls from neighbors complaining about the level of noise and the immature driving of the young children. And that does not go over well in the ways of Brigham Young, I hear. So Nick Goldie will have to serve a 2-year probation of the Mormon Code of Ethics.
Someone threw a hot dog in Breeze's car.
Yeah, and it didn't work. It didn't start.
Oh man, this is incredible. This is more important than anything we're talking about. So what is the consequences, huh?
Yeah, so as we were speaking of Devin Booker, the Mormon Code of Ethics, I believe, you can fact check me on this, states that
I will.
One shall not engage in love/sexual relationships until the age of 16. And I believe that penalty has been extended another 2-year probation for Nicholas until the age of 18.
Interesting. It also clearly talks about how you're not allowed to throw bratwurst hot dogs inside of car engines. So seems as if he's crossed several lines. He got noise complaints from the neighbors for driving over cars too. This is rough.
Yeah, it was an interesting evening there at there in Sycamore.
I'll be expecting an article in the Loveland Roar coming in newspapers near you.
It could happen, but it would probably be censored, as we've had three articles already censored this year.
Three? Were they all from Jack Gerber?
No, only one from Jack Gerber. Kind of ironic, though. It's pointed to me by Sam Crane, avid anti-socialist and avid Donald Trump supporter, who said, shouldn't the school not be censoring the school newspaper? He makes a solid point for once. Sam Crane, I'd like to shout you out. Good job, mate. Way to write articles that are not being censored by the school. Possibly Jack Gerber can change his tone about the woke liberal superintendent who is all making life-altering decisions by putting masks on our children who can no longer smile in the school building. So we'll see the effects of that in the school newspaper coming out Friday, October 1st.
Wait, what else was censored?
The dress code. There was one about the dress code.
Oh, yes.
How, it sexualizes women in their shoulders and criminalizes young men who could be getting distracted.
Couldn't say it better myself. I this was an article by our very own Ben Hicks.
Yes, it was
October 1st.
It was by me, everybody.
Ben, I know you want to show off your shoulders in school. All right.
Know.
Number
it's
two. Oh, please. Number two, Donovan Mitchell, as you have.
Indeed. Wow. What a list. I forgot we're talking about basketball here. I really forgot.
I did too.
But yeah, the Jazz are good, but they signed Rudy Gobert to a $41 million contract. It's not good enough to win the NBA title.
Okay. I saw this Bleacher Report article the other day. I'm gonna send it to the group chat, which no one responds to any of my messages. And it was like the worst contract from every NBA team. You know, these like clickbait Bleacher Report. You know, I have to respect Bleacher Report because they do not have a paywall to listen or to read their articles. But anyways, the Jazz's worst contract wasn't even Rudy Gobert. It was like Jordan Clarkson. So I was quite outstanding. It was quite an outstanding article. Donovan Mitchell, I'm just always impressed by his play. Probably going to win the finals next year. Also probably rookie of the year because, you know, those rules have never been the same since Ben Simmons. And I think that he's really good at basketball.
Yeah, so number one is obviously James Harden, who is obviously very good at basketball, but even more so has the most commendable facial hair possibly in all professional sports here. Very, very admirable. Plus, he's very good at mixing up his up top hairstyle from mofro, as I call it, to cornrows. So very interesting development there. We'll see what he comes out with and displays this year. Also a known clubber in the offseason, especially October. He loves to do it right before the season and come in a little overweight and just work his way down. And that's a perfect lead-in to how this connects to Love and Basketball, because Coach Reese does not want us to be like James Harden and be getting overweight by clubbing before the season. And in the words of Key and Peele, he would say, "Ain't none of y'all old enough to go to the damn club. So don't get overweight. Come to conditioning twice a week. Come to lifting three times a week, and you will be in great shape to go 11-11 this season with 11 Tigers."
Yes, sir. And the code word for Coach Williams to say is,
"Whew, I'm unsure." Clubbing. If he says clubbing tomorrow, we will know he has listened to all 45 minutes of this episode, in which we talk about nothing of importance.
If you stayed till minute 45, Coach Williams, and say clubbing, we will run an extra sprint on Tuesday.
Yeah, it'll be a great day. We appreciate everybody listening to this, all four of you. There's one more thing I wanted to add, but I believe I have forgotten it now, and as usual, it's probably of little importance. Any last words for the
people? I have nothing more to say.
For the men of Moeller. The men of Moeller.
You said your time with the Thunder didn't pay off.
That's a good line from
Moeller. It's not a fault. You choked in the playoffs.
Ooh.
Your fans didn't even take a day off.
Wow.
Can you continue? Do you know the rest? No? Okay.
You're buffering out there a wee bit, but
quite unfortunate.
I think it would be a good way to close this episode out. We appreciate everybody's devoted listenership to the Fast Break, and we will view you on the up and up, which is tomorrow.
Please follow your boy Beefcat on Reddit.
What's that? Your boy Beefcat? Yeah.
Please follow him on Reddit.
Yeah, follow him on Reddit. Your boy Cheese Dog signing off for now. Jeez, that is Aaron Spajut. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.